as the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 107 and the last verse. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalm 107 and the 43rd verse. The great thing to be concerned about as grace is given is to be the character the psalmist refers to. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. These things the psalmist is referring to are the things of God. Things whereby you and I can look back, if it is our mercy to be heaven-bound pilgrims, and see where God has come into our lives and done things for us, so that sometimes you can even take up the psalmist language, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And now the psalmist emphasizes the truth that you and I should be concerned to observe these things. And I want, as the Lord, to help me to look at the subject from that viewpoint and to work out a line of thought that is in my mind. But it all hinges upon this: whoso is wise. And now, as man is born, he is not wise. He grows up and thinks he is, but the word of God makes it very plain: if any man will be wise, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And it is a great mercy when at length the eyes of the blind are opened, when a new heart is given, a new spirit is imparted, a new will, and there is with it all a new understanding. And it is that understanding which is enlightened by the Spirit of God which enables you to see the why and wherefore of the dealings of God with you, and to sometimes help you to rejoice in hope of life eternal, that you are indeed being led forth by the right way, and that God is your guide. And now the psalmist, in the psalm before us, enumerates some of these things which need to be observed, and wherein the goodness of God is to be discerned. And he says in another psalm, thy loving kindness is before my eyes. I have thought, what a beautiful scripture that is. Thy loving kindness is before my eyes. Dear friends, it is before your eyes, if you are a sinner taught of God, all the day long, all night too. But you do not always observe it. There is a word in Isaiah which is very searching: seeing many things, but thou observest not. When the great war was on, I did quite a deal of duty in the Royal Observer Corps, and it was our business to observe the planes flying overhead, and we had to plot their course. And it was not enough to say a plane was passing over. You had to observe whether it was friendly or hostile. And you had to know the details of numerous planes that you might be able to plot their course aright and give true information to headquarters. And so it is in the things of God. It is not just as everyday life passes before you, it's to observe it. It is to observe it and see the why and wherefore, the workings out, the goodness of God as it passes before you. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. And now, ere you can be made wise, the starting point is ye must be born again. And there is a word in the Hebrews which is very helpful to show you what this really means as to observing. And the Apostle Paul said to the godly Hebrews, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Do listen, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, spiritual senses, exercised to discern both good and evil." By reason of use. It is that which you are occupied in as you journey through life. To look on like Manoah and his wife and see the angel of the Lord doing wondrously for you in providence and in grace. All to have our senses, our spiritual senses exercised, dear friends. This is the great essential in the dealings of God with us, that you and I may be able to understand his dealings aright. This and this alone will help us to exercise wisdom which he has given us. Whoso is wise and will observe, consider these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And now it is evident that you need much grace to do this, and that you and I are guilty before God, inasmuch as we have not been engaged in it as much as we ought to have been and could have been if we had been more spiritually minded and alert to see the dealings of God with us. Do ponder that in your heart. And now the psalmist says in the opening words, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And then he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." This was where the children of Israel so solemnly failed as they journeyed through the wilderness. And not only so, when they also dwelt in the land of Canaan too, but especially so in the wilderness. And so you read in the preceding psalm, "Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. And now you find in the psalm before us, I look at that first of all in approaching the subject. The psalmist gives us four word pictures. One is of the pilgrim journeying through the wilderness to a city of habitation. And the next one is a pilgrim too, but he, alas, sits in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. The third one is a fool, designated so by the Spirit of God. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And the fourth one is the sailor out on the ocean deep who sees the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. But the great thing to observe is that in each instance they were brought to have to do with God. And you find it says four times, one for each word picture, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. But when you have time, do read the psalm down and see what it was in each instance that they were called upon to observe regarding the dealings of God with them, ere they got deliverance at the last. You find as regards the pilgrim, first of all, journeying on in his wilderness way, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And it was their deep need, the aching void which the world could not fill. And because in all their wanderings they found no city to dwell in, and that is no settled resting place. And you must think that over as you journey on through life. However much you may make provision for this life, and that is lawful to do, but I do want you to remember there is a limitation to it. And that is, you cannot at any time, anywhere, build a city and settle down in it. Because if you are a pilgrim to Canaan bound, you will find, as it was in the psalmist's day, so it is nowadays, they found no city to dwell in. You may line your nest well and make it easy and comfortable, and think you will settle down in it, but God may knock the bottom out of it. And that you will have to observe is a blessing in disguise if he is pleased to do it. Or in any case, he will put a thorn in it so that you shall not be able to settle down in that which this earth affords. Because you and I, if we are taught of God, have to learn, I cannot here contented live with all the dainties earth can give. And now the pilgrim then had that truth to learn and to observe, and it brought him to have to do with God. And he was led forth by the right way, and he felt like the word of God declares concerning Abraham. He sought a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do remember that. And now the next character in the word picture is set before us as having passed through a very painful experience, and it is painful, I can assure you, to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. But then there were things to be learned. There was truth to be opened up in their soul's experience. And you find the word of God says that they rebelled against the words of God. And you know, dear friends, you and I have done that sometimes. You have wished the word of God could be otherwise than it is. The word of God says we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And deep down in your heart, you have wished it could be softened down a little, that there might not be so much ill and evil coming into your life, and that you could go along a much more easy pathway and experience an easier line of things in your soul. Preacher and people alike must all plead guilty before God. But then, whoso is wise and will observe these things, that they are not left to, in a frame of mind like that. No, they are to understand what the loving kindness of the Lord is, and therefore he deals with them. And how? The word of God tells us. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Oh, they came into dire straits in their soul's experience, and were like Jonah when he said, out of the belly of hell cried I. What then? Oh, blessed be God, do observe these things. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. You see, this is to be observed, that God is approachable at all times, everywhere, whatever your case or circumstances may be. God is get-at-able. And if you are taught of God, you will be brought to sorely need him and feel nothing else can satisfy. Give me Christ, or else I die. And now in the third picture, the designation is one who is a fool. You might not like that word applied to you, but then it is applicable. I'm not calling you fools. It is just what the word of God said about it that I tell you. And now it says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And you know, if you go back over life's journey and observe some of the dealings of God with you, you must admit what I have told you so many times, that life is a question of sowing and reaping. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Ay, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Joseph Hart says in one hymn of his, oh, what a fool have I been made, or rather made myself. The mariner's blind part I've played, that sees, yet strikes the shelf, sailing o'er the sea, and seeing the rocks, and sailing right on it, with eyes open. And you and I sometimes have played the fool like that. And now, it says, and this is to be observed, dear friends, Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Oh, they learn one scripture that is recorded. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And you have done that hundreds of times. Alas, that it should be so, and so have I. And now, this is to be observed. Here you see the loving kindness of the Lord. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. And how does he do it? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Yes, oh, the loving kindness of the Lord. Though I have him oft forgot, his loving kindness changes not. And now in the fourth picture, you see the sailor on the ocean deep going down to the sea, first of all to do business in great waters. But he comes into a time of storm. He commandeth. Remember, it is God who is pleased to do this. He has in it an underlying purpose, and it flows from his loving kindness. Although the sailor on the ocean deep does not realize it at the first, but it is to be observed later on. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. Oh, think of when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, and here is where they get to ultimately. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. The margin reading is beautiful. And that is what you must observe, dear friends. It is where God will bring you and me if he is pleased to fit us for eternity to dwell where he is. The margin reading is, all their wisdom is swallowed up. And now it just comes to this. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Lord, help me. Leave not my soul destitute. Make not my soul bare. As I said earlier on, you and I are brought to have to do with God. And God will in his loving kindness have to do with us. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. You might have to cry quite a while, but in his time, his way, the Lord will appear. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. You and I hope, have seen that done many times along life's way. Oh, the storms have raged, and our hearts have been filled with fears and faintings, but the Lord in his infinite mercy, his great loving kindness, has stilled the storm, said, peace, be still. And he has made a way where there seemed to be no way, and the storm has died down, and he has given in our hearts a sweet, blessed, holy calm. And that helps you to understand this word. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. Godly scholars tell us it means in the original, he bringeth them unto the haven where they would be. And when you get there, oh, you do feel like the psalmist in what he has to say in his psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Whoso is wise. You will find as you observe these things, as you go back over life's journey, you will find if you had not been left to do this or that, then some things would not have come into your lives as they did, and it might be made havoc in your life, and then God came into it to sort it out and to bring you forth by the right way in the midst of it all. Things hard to be understood. Thy judgments are a great deep. And the hymn writer says, thy judgments are too deep for reason's line to sound. You cannot work these things out as you try to think them out from reason's viewpoint. You need your understanding to be enlightened by the Spirit of God. And then you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and see the why and wherefore of his dealings, and feel in them all it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. My favored soul shall learn to lay her reason at thy throne, to weep thy secrets, to discern. I'll trust thee for my guide alone. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. Oh, how good it is, and what a theme it is to be engaged in observing, dear friends. Think how great are the things of God. Oh, that our hearts could be more often humbled before God, meekened by his grace, and our understandings enlightened, that you and I could think on these things more to purpose and profit, and not be so much taken up with the things of everyday life, which when all is said and done are time things and are passing and perishing. And now I would look at the subject from another viewpoint. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. And now it will help you as you observe these things to remember that God in his dealings does not deal with all his people alike. You find that set out in the Word of God. You might look in the Acts of the Apostles, and there you see in the building up of the Church of Christ how the dealings of God were so very various, and there is quite a multitude in the variety of his dealings, in how poor sinners were wrought on by the Spirit of God and brought into the church even. You, as a sinner born again, have in your heart the details, and you should observe them often and say thank you to God as you do. You have, I say, the details of how you humbly hope God dealt with you, made you to differ from the world, and raised up within you a good hope through grace. But then you find, as you speak one to another, that other folks taught of God, as you are, in the dealings of God with them, he did not deal with them as he dealt with you. And now I do think that needs to be kept much more in the forefront of our thoughts, because I have lived a long time in our denominational life, and I can go back to days when I believe many who were old and grey-headed. I am making no reflections on our old and grey-headed people, for they are not guilty. But in my early days, there were old and grey-headed people who seemed to have the standard set up in their minds that if you had not been called by grace just as they were, there was not much evidence that you were called by grace. Oh, but you must observe these things. And let us go to the Church of Christ at Philippi. And what do we see there? We see Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And it says, she heard us. And the outcome of it was, she was wrought on by the Spirit of God. But it gives no details of a deep law work or anything outstanding in the dealings of God with her in her call by grace. But the fruits of it made it manifest that the root of the matter was found within, because it is said, and do you listen to it? She attended to the things which were spoken. She did observe these things. And one of these things, it is evident, as the Apostle Paul preached the gospel at that time, was that she was baptized. And she followed on to know the Lord. And the fruits were very striking. For she said to the apostles, if ye have judged me to be faithful unto the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And now there, in observing these things, you see that the calling of Lydia, as I view it, was very gentle. But when it comes to the Philippian jailer, as you all know, there was an earthquake wrought in the jail. Paul and Silas were unjustly therein as prisoners. Their feet were fast in the stocks, and their backs were sore with stripes unjustly laid upon them. And you remember at midnight they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And then this earthquake in the jail took place, and the jailer awoke and saw what had happened, and was going to take one step into hell itself. And Paul called out, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And the jailer came at that very moment and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they taught him the word of God, and he believed, and he was saved. His redeemed spirit is in the realms of bliss. And now those two, Lydia as a sister and the Philippian jailer as a brother, were the first two names on the church roll at Philippi. And now you must observe these things and take courage thereby, that God is a sovereign in how he leads his people into the truth of which he is the glorious author. Much might be said from that viewpoint, but you must observe these things from this viewpoint. You must not at any time set up your own experience as to how everybody else whom God is pleased to teach must be taught likewise. No. The evidence of being taught of God is to feel the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I have felt it to some people, and I have felt sure in my judgment they were people taught of God who at that time had never said a word to me about the things of God at all. And that was how I felt in my mind. My spirit was wrought on I felt my spirit united to them as one who was following on to know the Lord. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, when all is said and done, love is the golden chain that binds the favored souls above, and he is a heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. And you may feel that. I believe some of you, dear young people, have felt it. You might not have had words at the time to confirm you in feeling it, but you do hope your heart has been drawn forth, and the things of God at that time have been to you precious beyond words to describe, and you have felt, oh, if I could only feel that I possessed a living interest in these things, and to have some assurance that God was indeed my God. When e'er to call the Saviour mine, my soul with ardent wish aspires, can it be less than power divine which animates these strong desires? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And then there are these things to be observed. Not only how God is pleased to deal with poor sinners as he calls them by his grace. There are his dealings in providence. And sometimes they may seem hard to be understood. And they are. Sometimes you feel like Jacob. All these things are against me. But then go back to Jacob and he will illustrate this truth for us. Jacob said, all these things are against me. And then think of him when 20 years afterwards he came out of his tent and saw the wagons, a caravanserai of wagons, come up from Egypt with his sons returned and with the good tidings that Joseph, whom he had mourned so long as dead, was alive and that he was governor of Egypt. And Jacob said, I will go down and see my child ere I die. And Israel, for that was his name then, Israel said, it is enough. Yes, and you can depend on this, as he was journeying down into Egypt, he went back over his life and he went back to that time when they brought Joseph's coat all bloodstained and said, know thou, is this thy son's coat or no? And then he thought of the dealings of God, for he was wise, was Jacob. He was a godly man, although in some things he failed very much as a man, yet he was a godly man, he was made wise unto salvation, and you can depend on it, he did observe these things, and he could see those things which he said, all these things are against me. Oh, they had worked out in the wisdom of God to be wonderfully on his behalf and all to do with him. And he could understand what our hymn writer says, thy ways, O Lord, with wise design are framed upon thy throne above, and every dark and bending line meets in the center of thy love. Yes. And you might think also about Joseph himself, as he observed these things. Oh, he must have had some very sad, solemn reflections. When, first of all, as very young, he was in the pit. He could not understand the working out of that. And then, as he was sold as a slave to go down into Egypt, and then, although God appeared on his behalf and prospered him, Then there came another setback, and he was found in prison. But he was guiltless of any charge preferred against him. And he could not understand that. And I read to you, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until the fulfillment of it came, then when it did come, he could observe these things. And now think of what Joseph must have felt like as he went to rest on that night when he had been made governor of Egypt and God had helped him to be Zaphnath-Paaneah, the revealer of secrets to Pharaoh, and he had been raised up to that great height and he had seen his dreams fulfilled in every jot and tittle. I guess he never slept that night. He was occupied in observing these things, and I have no doubt he tried to tune his harp on this keynote, "Oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." And there is just one other witness as I come to the amen whom you can think about. And he was taught to observe these things, and that is godly David himself. And he was speaking out of the abundance of the heart when he recorded this word, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." But if godly David had thought upon it and gone back to his youthful days, what did he say then sometimes? "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. There is but one step betwixt my soul and death." And so he felt, because he looked at things as they appeared to be regarding Saul. And yet he knew in his heart that Samuel had poured the anointing oil upon his head, and that he was to succeed Saul as Israel's king. But in the meantime, he was hard put to it and driven hither and thither, and he fell a prey to ifs and buts and hows regarding how these things would be brought about. But then the time came when the Lord appeared on his behalf, and he did reign on Israel's throne, and he had reigned long when he penned the psalm before us. And it says at the heading of the page, "David encourageth himself to praise God," and you do it too. As grace is given, you ponder these things in your heart. Seek to remember the way God has led you along many, many years, some of you, not so many for some of you, but do remember that he has put you in the way. Some of you, dear young people, and you are asking the way to Zion with your faces thitherward, and you must observe these things, because there are hundreds of millions of people on the earth this Sabbath morn who have no thought of God or godliness. Oh, they are without God and without hope. But you are here before God, and in your heart you have a desire. "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O, visit me with thy salvation." How do you come to feel like that? How do any of us who feel like it possess the feeling of it? It is just this: whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Do remember, it flows from the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, that you might be able to think on it and say thank you to God for it, and translate thanksgiving into thanks living. Amen.
God willing, the pastor will preach on Thursday evening. The next Lord's Day, Mr. H. Oliver will preach at Union Chapel, after hopes he preaches at Stapleton. Hymn number 307.
Till having then
And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such cold attention here? Are these the blessings you expect? Is this the lot of God in it? 307.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.